Sports and Basketball Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman Podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, guys, here we go. It is time for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tango Along for the Ride podcast. And we are brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up now at FanDuel.com/Boston and claim your $200 bonus. Okay, guys, we have to start with the Celtics. This was supposed to be a cakewalk, walk in the park. Now they're up 3-2. Atlanta wins at home. Wins at the Garden. Bob Ryan, kick us off.
Well, two things. One, in general terms, I am cursed with the problem of being burdened with knowledge and history. And there was 2-0. I said, fine, I've seen this before, and including routes. I've seen many a 2-0 turn to 2-2, which this one didn't, fortunately. But no, you know, and part B, going along with this now, I do not trust this team.
Right.
Wow.
This team, I don't trust them. And I'm going to repeat, and then I'm just going to get off the soapbox with this one. They have sufficient talent. They are the most talented team in the league. But that does not mean they're the best TEAM. They have to prove they know how to win, when to do what, when to answer the bell. And I'm watching this game last night, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, guys, you got enough points. Stops. You need stops now to put this game away. Anytime you get 117 in this league, you should win. You should win. So I don't trust them. They have to prove to me that they get it.
I feel like we're going to make too much of one game. And really, one stretch at the end of a game here. Like game three, whatever. Okay, they win that game. You're fine with it. This one, yes. It was a little bit more of a, like, surprise. But at the end of the day, is it going to matter, Bob? They played horrible for a stretch at the end of the game where, yes, they should have closed it out. We know that. But they're going to beat Atlanta anyway. And we're going to look back on the end of this series, and maybe it helps them in a way that they can't go through that again, that they were the same team that they were a year ago in the end of this game. And not everything's changed. I think we're going to put too much in a, you know, 5-minute, 6-minute spurt at the end of a game, which really, when we look back on it, we're not even going to remember this. We're not even going to remember it because they're going to win the next game. They're going to win in Atlanta, and this series is going to be over.
All right. I'll remember Trae Young. That was a 64-point performance last night, 38 and 13. I'll remember that. All right. I know what you're saying in that sense. I don't want, but this is part of the process of they have to earn the trust. They have not yet done it, period.
And they went to the finals last year, though. They got all the way to the finals. I get it.
They won the damn thing.
But they have.
Let me give you this one. If you think they've learned their lessons and that the supposed best players learned this lesson, how do you account for a technical foul at a propitious moment like that? Yeah. When is he going to grow up and keep his mouth shut?
I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. Listen,
I've been unforgivable. That's fining. If I'm the Celtics, I punish him somehow.
I've been talking to you about this for how many years? Have I been talking to you about this with Tatum?
And he wasn't even involved in the play.
Right. No, he's got to learn enough with the refs. Enough with the refs. That's the one thing he has not learned. Now, he had a bad game. But like
for X on three,
but he's gonna have bad games. Like you know, I heard somebody on TV this morning, like, Jason Tatum with another bad playoff performance. Like come on, you know. Last I checked, Larry had bad playoff performances too. Everybody has them. Okay, the guy isn't a machine here. Now again, when it comes around and they make the finals, if he has multiple bad playoff performances in the finals, then you can hit him. But right now, he's been pretty good for the most part through the playoffs. There were some bonehead plays down the stretch. That, you know, Marcus Smart play was baffling.
Let's talk about that for a minute. I want to talk about the Marcus Smart thing. I want to approach it from a couple of angles. Should the official have let that go?
Yes.
And why? Two-part question. Should the official have let that go, Jeff? And should Smart have been in the game?
You're talking about the one where he went for the steal at the end?
Yeah, the foul, yeah.
I mean, what are you even going for it at that point? Why are you even going for the steal? Like, you're not going to get that call most times. When you try to pick a guy like that, generally you're going to get called for the foul because you're going to get him with a body. And that's what the ref called him with there. So it was just not a very smart move by Marcus to even go for that. Just defend at that point. Defend, you know, which they hadn't done, as Bob said.
Right.
But just lock down and defend because that's what you've been known for much of the season.
This is what the part of the whole package that we have with him. And I'm a fan of his. I've been a fan of his from the beginning. I've stuck up for him through thick and thin, through bad jump shots and bad threes and everything else. All right, but here's the thing. There's a line between aggressiveness and recklessness. And we want him to be aggressive, and being aggressive is what's made him what he is. But that was a reckless play, and right. He's been known to
stupid.
Do that.
You can call it stupid, Bob.
I'm going to be polite here. I'm going to just call it reckless.
I'll call it stupid.
That's part of his package, and he picked the wrong moment to be reckless. Yeah. And you know, so you add it all up, you know, and these things in a close game. Let's take another a little timeout though here. And let's salute. Trae Young was terrific.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's not routine.
He that can be terrific. He can shoot you in a game like that and win a game. He can shoot you right out of a game.
I know. Well, you mentioned earlier that Jason's had, you know, anybody can have a bad playoff game. Yep. He's had them. He's already had them in the playoffs.
Yes.
And but that was a virtuoso performance last night, but which we should properly salute him.
Now, I was going to say, you know, at the end of the day, you look at the Celtic mistakes, and it's very hard for Celtic fans to feel this way, but he had 16 of his 38 in the fourth quarter. His team's on the brink of elimination.
Yeah.
So do you say that Trae Young won the game or the Celtics lost the game, Bob?
Well, I mean, I think they should. You know, it doesn't bother me. What bothers me, not losing to him, but leaving, you know, Bay hurt them. Collins hurt them. Bogdanović hurt them. Their rotations were non-existent at times to get up on guys that can make those shots. They should be, and they were uncontested. Show me, other than Trae Young, anybody that made a contested three last night. They were like shooting like pregame warm-up, and that bothers me. I can live with a great player, and he is a great player. Whatever off the court package problems he presents to the Hawks, that's not our concern. But all I know is that young man can play this game, and that was a great performance. He made things happen. No, but it's
Trae Young. Listen, if Trae Young is the number two guy on an NBA team, that team can contend for an NBA title. Trae Young is your number one guy, cannot lead you to an NBA title because of his inconsistency and also his lackluster performances on the defensive end of the court. You know that. But listen, without DeJounte Murray too, we haven't even mentioned that.
Right.
It was an incredible performance, especially in the fourth quarter by Trae Young. They earned it. Like Bob said, they had completely earned it. And the Celtics didn't help matters with their pitiful defensive performance as well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now let's get back to the grand, to the old man out west. Bob is hot on the Lakers, Bob. What do you got?
I think that attention must be paid. I'm starting to worry about them. I mean, once again, we all know this is going to be a duh. As long as he and Anthony Davis can stay healthy and on the floor, they're going to be trouble. But the recent history says that that's not necessarily going to happen. You know, Anthony Davis is always one play away from, you know, getting the DL, the IL, whatever the hell they're calling it now. So anyway, they look good. And would you agree, Jeff, that they really addressed their issues very well this year about shooting? The pieces that they've added have really enhanced this team.
Yeah, I thought Rob Pelinka did a good job. I don't know if it was Pelinka or LeBron or the combo, but, some of the guys they brought in certainly have helped solve some of those issues. But ultimately, it comes down to the health, right? LeBron and AD have to be close to 100% for them to have a shot. But listen, it's good for the league. This is good for the NBA. We're not. We're only going to get a few more of these opportunities with LeBron in the postseason. See, right. He's 39, right? This is
Not yet. 38. Don't. It won't be 39. Right,
39 in December. Sorry, December 39 30. December. My bad.
That's okay.
I was talking yesterday about how if he plays with Bronny that year, he'll turn 40 in the middle of the season when if he plays with Bronny, which is another conversation.
Very different conversation.
But yeah, I mean, you're only going to get a few more opportunities to see LeBron in the playoffs. So, and we missed it last year. So to be honest, yeah, I want him to get to the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, think it's good
for the NBA.
I mean, at the beginning of this whole thing, we were thinking the West, LeBron, Durant, the Warriors. Yes. I mean, now both conferences are worth watching. Embiid and the freak are hurt.
It's more balanced now because
of KD. Yeah.
Right. KD shifted the power because he took it away from Brooklyn and moved it to Phoenix. You know, the Nets are now a garbage team, as we saw, getting swept. And now Phoenix becomes the favorites. Maybe to win the whole thing. But I think everybody would love to see, what's the bracket? Is can Phoenix play the Lakers? When do they play the Lakers?
No, that would be the final. The Phoenix next up, they're playing Denver.
Denver, right.
So it'll be the next, it'll be the East Western Conference Finals.
So don't we want to see that? Isn't that honestly, in a way?
Of course. So,
right? That's what you want to see.
You want KD and LeBron.
Correct. Because how many more of those are there going to be? That might be it for the playoffs. The last time those two go up against each other, and you're talking, and here's my take. Here's my question to you. We know LeBron's going to be forever etched as one or two, or 1A or 1B. Where is Kevin Durant?
Well, that's a great question.
Is Kevin Durant like top 10-ish, Bob, right now? Where would you put KD right now?
It's really sticky because after you get the, I have my. Well, once again, I have my five, which includes three centers. You know, remember centers? And then of course it's LeBron and Michael. That's five, and Magic and Larry, or Larry and Magic, whichever you want to win, is six and seven. Now we draw the line, and I think Duncan is right there. I love Duncan. KD now enters into this discussion, no question. As does Curry.
Yeah.
As does Curry. Yeah. Which is not the I forgot one. How can I say, Kobe?
Kobe. Yep.
Now we're pushing 10.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that top 10 is really hard to figure. Like you said, five are easy. The top five to me are fairly easy. I don't know how you don't have Magic and Larry in your, you have to have them in your top 10. Have to.
I'll argue that right now. They're still sticking, whichever one you want, six and the other one, seven. But So now we got contending to close it out. We mentioned we got Kobe, you got Duncan, you got Durant, you got Curry. And then, of course, the triumvirate of the people, the youngsters don't know about, frankly, Oscar, Jerry, and the guy who was better than both of them the last 5 years of his career, John Havlicek. People don't realize how good he was anymore. So and then if you want another, my number four center is Olajuwon. That's my he's a top.
I mean,
he's
guys, but the way I look at KD is, and you have to use your imagination a little bit, is if Brooklyn worked, he's definitely top 10. If Brooklyn worked, and I'm not saying that they had to win a title,
right?
But if Brooklyn worked and they were competitive and he was healthy and it wasn't the bleep show that it was, he's in the top 10. I mean, Bob, you've always said, the bottom line with KD is, as a basketball player, he's phenomenal.
He's a force. Obviously,
he shoots threes like he's a freaking shooting guard and he's 7 feet. So I think he will redeem himself. I mean, this is, if I'm the marketing guy in the NBA, this is the redemption tour of Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah. He can win it as, I guess, the best player on the team. But is he now? Is Devin Booker the best player on this team? He has been in this series.
He had a casual 47 last night.
He's been ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Devin Booker, like, there's some guys that you look at and you're like, all right, 40-point club. Like, Devin Booker can do it over and over and over. Like, Devin Booker is going to go down as I mean, he's young. He could have been top.
He's on a Hall of Fame. Time. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory right now.
Exactly.
No doubt in my mind about that. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, which means that Phoenix is putting a lineup out there with two guaranteed Hall of Famers, a third guy on the trajectory, and a who's good enough in the middle.
Yes.
Good enough. Yes. He's not. He
doesn't have to be great. Does not have to be great. He's just got to clean up the glass. He runs the court. He finishes. He blocks shots. He's athletic. Yeah, no, he's perfect for what they need. He's kind of what I always envisioned, like, could James Wiseman have become with Golden State? And he never did, obviously.
But the discussion is fun. And this is why it's a very legitimate and appropriate discussion when you're just about Durant and Curry too, where they fit in the all-time scheme. It's a fun discussion. And certainly, the worst you can say about either one of them is 12, top 10, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling by the end of these playoffs, Durant's going to be back in the top 10. He's always been top 10 talent to me. He just hooked himself to the wrong wagon. Let's get to the Bucks. Boy, Jeff, this has turned. The Bucks are on the brink.
Yeah, I mean, well, you get a combination of bad health and Jimmy going ballistic, and all of a sudden your backs are against the wall. I still think the Bucks can come back from this and win the series.
You do.
But if Giannis is healthy.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he comes out and you don't know how backs are going to feel. You know, he looked good, but not himself in the last game when he came back. Not as dominant, but again, here's the thing. For the Heat to win again, like, Jimmy's got to go for 30-plus. He can't have an off game.
Well, that's the way it's always been.
Correct.
I mean, even when they won the finals, he was out of his mind.
But you had Tyler Hero before who could make things happen off the bounce. You're a little bit more limited now because – again, Duncan Robinson's back in the rotation again, playing because Hero's hurt. So you're more restricted and more reliant on Jimmy than you ever have been.
Yeah.
I thought Bam would be a better player.
Well, it's not an offensive that's not his game. That's never been his game. So everybody that was hyping Bam up, Bam's a great defensive big man and a solid offensive player, but you're not going to him down. Like, you're not throwing it to Bam Adebayo on the block. He's actually better at facing up against bigs than he is about scoring on the block.
Interesting, just before you mentioned Robinson, it is interesting because he was on the you-know-what list in that team for 3 months. He wasn't playing. He was DMPing every night. And now they need him, and he did look pretty good the other night. And it would be very interesting to see, you know, what his contribution is going to be, given that he was, you know, you have to dust him off.
What town is he from in Mass again, Jeff?
Duncan is from it's like a little island outside Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I've driven through it. Tiny little island.
Newcastle?
Newcastle, that's right.
No kidding.
Yes. Yes, that's where he's from. Yes.
I didn't know that. Oh, I've had many a libation out of Newcastle. We'll leave that one alone. Great spot, by the way. Great spot.
It's very nice. Small. Not a lot on Newcastle. Not a lot there.
There's enough. Okay. Let's go to the Knicks. Bob, can the Knicks cause problems?
Yeah, playing well. I think so. And it's all fitting together at the moment. And Tibbs is now getting, you know, accolades in New York they're troublesome. They have components. Their answer to Robert Williams III, you know, is Mitchell Robinson. And, he's doing their job for them, but the obvious people are, and of course Brunson has been just fantastic from start to finish. But Barrett is now asserting himself. And they even win a game when they sit Randall on the bench for the whole fourth quarter, which is interesting.
He wasn't happy.
And I wasn't happy. He didn't talk. But now I haven't had a chance to read the story yet, but I see in today's post the headline implying that he's now coming out as Mr. Team. You know, he's saying, suddenly saying the right thing. But the fact is he sulked after that game. He did not meet with the media. Anyway, the answer to your question, Gary, yeah, they're – they can be trouble, and I think they're going to obviously going to win this series, but I think and against Cleveland and you know they could be in trouble.
I mean, you could see a Knicks Miami series. Think about that.
That's fun. That's a fun series.
To get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what's kind of cool about that series? You have two Villanova point guards that were questioned over and over again when they were coming up in Kyle Lowry and Jalen Brunson. The old guy, Kyle Lowry, started kind of Jay Wright's run at Villanova in a lot of ways. Tough, undersized, doesn't look the part, not a great athlete, can't really shoot it great. Against Jalen Brunson, the younger guy who, again, doesn't look the part, not a great athlete, not a great shooter, all of that. So I think that would be a kind of a fun matchup in that series.
But they got their fandom back. They got the Garden rocking back. And you mentioned earlier, Jeff, about how it's good to have the Lakers. It's always good to have a team in New York.
Ratings will be good.
Way too long without one, and you know it's good for the league because they are polarizing. People love them or hate them, but they pay attention. When New York is good,
imagine having Boston, New York, L.A., Miami, all in there, and then KD and like Phoenix, Phoenix is. I mean, this would shape up to be a pretty good, you know, final eight teams for the playoffs. You know, and obviously Philly. You got Philly too, another big market.
Very, right, very appealing, and stars. You know, Embiid, of course, is.
And you could have Golden State. I mean, I think everybody Sacramento. I feel like, you know what Sacramento's like. They're like the 15th seed. They're like the 15th seed in the NCAA tournament.
Don't be dissing his Kings. Don't be dissing his Kings.
I get it. I get. All I'm saying is they're cute right now. They're cute, but you don't want to see them get to the Final Four. I don't want to see them beat Golden State.
You can take that. They're cute. He called your team cute.
I do, but
you'd rather see Sacramento than Steph. I want to see Golden State and Steph with one more ride, just like LeBron and the Lakers.
Well, if it happens, it happens. I'll enjoy it, but I've had enough. I want to see Sacramento, but speaking of which, this whole Fox thing is kind of mystifying. What exactly is the issue with the hand that he says he's going to play now? Okay.
Tough kid. He's actually a tough kid. I'm a huge De'Aaron Fox guy. Huge. Like, have loved him. And it's great to see him kind of, you know, obviously played in a big stage at Kentucky in college, but. They didn't go to a Final Four, and he's played in anonymity the first few years of his NBA career. And frankly, couldn't shoot, but that's the biggest difference. And it's the misnomer, guys, is always that a non-shooter in high school and college can't become a good shooter. They can. If you work on it, that is the one area you can absolutely improve more than anything else. Jaylen Brown has done it in Boston. You know, De'Aaron Fox has done it in Sacramento. You know, there's a lot of guys who have done that. A lot of good work.
The one that I can never get enough thought about, I mean, I just am fascinated by it, is Brook Lopez turning himself into a three-point shooter. Right? When you look and see what he did, how he came into the league and what he's turned himself into.
You should have seen him back in AAU ball. Oh, my God. Yeah, him and his brother. I mean – yeah, even at Stanford. I mean, he'd never stepped out.
He's exhibit A about what you just said.
Yep.
All right, guys. Anything else on your mind before we say so long?
Basketball-wise? No, I think that covers it.
Good. Well, we have some sad news in the basketball community and the Celtic family. But a woman that we knew and all thought a lot of and worked with, Heather Walker, who worked in media relations with the Celtics, lost her battle with cancer last night. So we just wanted to offer condolences to her family and the Celtic family. And, I just remember Heather's greatest asset as far as like she was always when Felger or I or somebody or Greg would say something that would, you know, irritate Wick. Wick is very defensive about his team, as we know. which makes him a great owner. I have no problem with that. Heather always had to smooth it out. She'd be like, guys, really, come on. I mean, you know, and she was great. She was very, very good at her career. And it's just, it's a sad day.
Awful, awful. One of the nicest people I've ever met. I mean, just always smiling, always helpful, super sweet. And yeah, just horrible, horrible news.
Yes, I agree. Second emotion.
Gentlemen, on that note, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.